Okay, let me start by reading Romans chapter 8. Alright, Titus read Romans chapter 10. I'll just take two chapters backward. And we're going to read from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Okay, the media team is supposed to have the scripture up there, right? Okay. If you can read with me, if you have a Bible with me, yeah, please. Right? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. In verse 28, it says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Okay, but we still not there yet, but here is the climax. And Paul is reaching towards the end of the chapter. In verse 31, it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Himself up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, nor sword, is written for the sick. We face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, neither anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone say, amen. Amen. Look at Paul's bold declaration, right? This is a famous scripture, a bold declaration. What is behind Paul's confidence? It's because Jesus Christ has died and rose again and is right at the right hand of God and interceding for each one of us and for everyone so that they can come to have life in Christ. That's intercession, right? Today, the title of my sermon is Intercessors Arising. Right, responding to God's call to come before God on behalf of others. You know, I have a daughter. Right? How many of you have small siblings, younger siblings, right? Very young sibling, 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old. Okay, my daughter is 1 year old. Right? She just celebrated her birthday. And just before I came to service this evening, right, I was just helping her to prepare her for an afternoon nap. And usually before her nap, I will probably bring her to see pictures, so family photos, and then I will let her see the uncle, see auntie, see the parents. And then this afternoon, she singled out one photo, right, and she hold on to the photo, and I try, okay, it's time to go release the photo and we'll go for a nap. I'm going to bring you back to the nap. He said, no, I want to hold on to this photo. So you hold very tightly. And that photo is a photo of her uncle. Right? And I brought her back into the room. And I say, all right, you chose the right photo, right? I think we need to pray for your uncle. Right? Because we, we are in this kind of family situation, and I think my brother-in-law, you know, and it all involves, and I think my daughter Anna chose that photo, and we intercede, we pray for her uncle before she sleep, right? And after the prayer, she let go of the photo. Right? Simple intercessory prayer, right? Even a one-year-old can do it. Amen. Alright. But I think we need to know, as young people, the spiritual foundation that we are standing on. You know, God has given us every spiritual blessing, every spiritual resources, so that we can become intercessors. We can stand in a gap and pray and contend for God's purpose. For your loved ones, for your friend, for your classmates, for your parents, for your pre-believer friends, right? Those you care about. And God has given us that. And what's the spiritual foundation? And it all started way back to the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. Alright, let's turn to book of Genesis chapter 18. Are you all there? You have your Bible with you? Okay. In Genesis chapter 18, right, it reads, so the man, verse 22, so the man turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare like the wicked. Far be that from you, Almighty God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord say, okay, if I can find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Wow. Who in among men can talk to God like that? Right? How did that happen? How did that conversation happen? Is that for real? Did it really take place? Did God had a conversation with Abraham like that, face to face, talk like that, on the fate of a city? See, that passage become a well-known passage for intercession, for intercessory prayer. And that is the passage of the Old Testament, where intercession happened, where Abraham rose to become an intercessor for Sodom. Okay, all of us are called to intercede. Yet, true intercessors are those who chose an attempt to live a life of obedience and faith in God. It is a natural fruit from your own time, your own intimacy with the living God. It's an outcome of your usual renewed walk and faith with our Heavenly Father. And it's born out of this relationship, this spiritual relationship that all of us here have, and that the burden that you have for your friends, for your loved ones, for the people that you care most, right? And the burden for God's best for their lives. And one of the first accounts in the intercession in the Bible is recorded in this Genesis chapter 18. Right? And it happened over a personal conversation. You can imagine that Abraham was just in his old usual daily walking in the house, and then suddenly he sensed God's presence. He saw three visitors, and he hailed to them and said, come, if you have found favor in the thy servant, come and into my place, and I can extend the hospitality, have a good rest, and let's just have some time of fellowship, right? And that is just a casual. It's like home visit. If someone just come and drop by your house, say hello, you know, and Abraham was known to be the friend of God. You know, that's his friendship with God. And that is the state and the reflection of his how close he is to God and how sensitive to him, to God's presence that Abraham is, right? And from this casual and so-called personal home conversations. You know, in the end, what followed became a newspaper headline. You know, tomorrow you read new paper. What your guys read nowadays? Facebook, ah. All right. The next day you see, you tap, suddenly the message pop up, you know, and there's a headline of one guy, one person rose into intercession and managed to save the lives of a family from a city that was facing, that faced a complete catastrophic destruction. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah was totally wiped out. But because of Abraham, his nephew, Lot, was safe, and his whole family was safe. Right? Intercession arises from a position and a place of intimacy. It's a fruit of our life, of faith and obedience to God. And the practice of intercession is our outflow, our continual spiritual walk with God. And the knowledge that we have of who God is, and His heart and burden for the people. Okay, let's just unpack it a little bit more, right? And let's take a look at Genesis chapter 18, the whole chapter, right? And after that, we will go straight into intercession and the whole practice of intercession. In chapter 18, verse 1 to 15, we see the faith of Abraham, right? And how did his faith God who God is, his knowledge of God who is a judge, creator, and mighty God, and yet a God who is compassionate, who is merciful, who is loving. All right, so just now we talk about how the personal space and God Abraham was then reminded of his own call, his covenant, that God has told him that he will have a son, and his name is Isaac. Right, so it was a personal conversation that happened in the first half of chapter 18. And then when we go into the middle section, right, in the middle section there's a transition. And here, God decided, why don't I tell Abraham what I'm gonna do with Sodom? Right? Here, you know, when Abraham is about to see them off, God told Abraham that, you know, I'm gonna destroy Sodom. Right? The cries are coming to me, and I'm going to destroy Sodom. So when Abraham heard that, Abraham stood before God. Right? And God made that unprecedented invitation to bring Abraham into an intercessory position. And Abraham took that position very seriously, and he stand before God and contend for the life of his nephew, right, Lot. So in the second half of chapter 18, the whole account of Abraham's conversation was recorded. It was almost like in a heavenly court, Abraham was facing the judge, right? But he knew this judge. He knew that this judge, even though he's just, but he's merciful and compassionate. And he's going to contend for the life of his nephew, Lot. And because of that, God gave him that privilege to contend for the city of Sodom, right? And that's what happened, right? So he moved from 50 people to 10 people. So there was this conversation. Okay, first and foremost, all right, let's look at the first part of chapter 18. And have a little glimpse of Abraham's life. Right? His life is a life of intimacy, a life of faith in who God is. You know, God gave Abraham the call, right, that you're going to be the father of nations. That you're going to be, your children, your descendants will be like stars, right? Sands, right? You can't count them. And when this encounter happened at his home, the visitor told him that you're going to have a son, right? And at that point, Abraham already had Ishmael, right? Probably he couldn't wait. He tried to help God to have a son because he didn't believe that he would have a son because of his old age. So he already had Ishmael, right? And he had that son this conversation, they reminded Abraham that God told you that you're going to have Isaac and it's going to be born to given birth by Sarah, right? So God reminded him of the covenant And so there was this renewal. You know, even Abraham struggled with his own unbelief, and he took things into his own hands. He made a mistake, but God forgave him and said that, right, I will return to you next year, and you will have a son, and you have to name him Isaac. Okay, and so in this personal contact with God, Abraham knew God's heart. Right? God is a God who forgives. God is a God who is compassionate. God is a God who is faithful, even though we doubt. Sometimes we are faithless. So in this, that Abraham, you know, his faith is challenged. And even Sarah, during the conversation, Sarah said, how can I have a child? And she laughed, right? So there's this conversation happening at the tent of Abraham. And that is a reflection of his own personal walk with God, his journey with God. And lo and behold, from this conversation, it moved and transited into it's like a work conversation, it's a business conversation. And this happens in the middle section of Genesis 18. Right? So the man got up to leave in verse 16. They looked down towards Sodom. You know, these people are heading towards Sodom and carry out the judgment. And Abraham walked along them to see them on their way. In verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation. And all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Right? And God revealed to Abraham his impending purpose of judging Sodom in verse 20 to 22. You know, the city will be demolished in God's judgment. And God knew that Lot, the nephew of Abraham and his family, are residing in the city. And God brought this invitation to Abraham, right, to intercede, to stand up and rise to that position of an intercessor and to contend for the city of Sodom, and to contend for the life of Lot. So the prophet Ezekiel, right, many years later, the prophet Ezekiel echoed this universal truth of God's heart and call. He said that God, I look for someone among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap of behalf of the land so that I will not have to destroy it by found none. So I would pour my wrath on them and consume them in my fiery anger and bring down on their heads all they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Right, that's in Ezekiel 22, verse 30 to 31. And it's the universal truth that God is looking for people to stand in a gap, to stand before the Lord and say, no, this is not according to your purpose. This is not according to your will. This is not according to your character and who you are. Right, so this will not happen to this person or to this person or to this city. God is looking for such people with faith and with the courage to stand, not based on their own personal feelings or sentiment, but based on who God is and based on who God's purpose, you know, are. And that's where the conversation with the father, you know, Abraham, in personal, took a turn and became a conversation with the judge. And it's the second half of chapter 18. So the man turned from there and went towards Sodom. Right? But Abraham still stood before the Lord. You can see that his intentionality and his persistence, right? That Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous and the wicked? Suppose there are 50 people who are righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for just 50 people who is righteous? Far be it from you. You know, if I paraphrase, God, this is not a God I know, right? You are a righteous judge. And far be it that the righteous the fate of the righteous and the wicked will be the same. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord say, okay, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for the sake. So Abraham's initiative, he stayed with God. In today's context, you can say that he lingered and pressed on in God's presence. He pressed on in God's inner chamber and found himself in a heavenly courtroom, face to face with a righteous judge. And I remember, you know, this incident, you know, many years ago, when I was just spending time with the Lord, you know, worshiping Him and just spending unhurried time, right? And I'm sure most of you all have this time, right, where you worship God in your personal space and room. And then out of that time, this person's face appeared in my mind, right? And this is an old friend. So I wasn't actually thinking of him, but his face just popped up, right? And I was led to just pray for him. And after that day, just two or three days later, guess what? I bumped into him at Plaza Singapura. Right? How many of you still visit Plaza Singapura? Okay. Right, so I bumped into him. Right, I bumped into him and I say, hey, you know, I didn't tell him that I saw you, your face in my mind, but I just say, what are you doing? How are you? And I realized that he hasn't been attending church and he was like just in transition and everything. So I invited him to KUS, right? And to cut the story short, one thing led to the other. He came back to KUS, he came back to worship with us, and after that he joined a cell group. And then years later we went to a mission trip together into Japan. So, you know, when we avail ourselves before God, you know, God will put people into our hearts, into our spirit. And God knows that you, and bring that invitation to you so that you can rise up and pray and intercede. And not just in prayer, but intercede and even have a divine appointment with the person, right? So that that person, that God's purpose for this person can come to pass, right? So first, our intercessory position comes from our close and intimate relationship with God. Second, intercession is carried out with the insight based on who God is, based on God's revelation, right? And it's based on the knowledge of who He is as our Father, who He is as our Savior, and who He is as a sovereign God of the universe. Right? So Abraham's boldness, you know, his courage is because God revealed to him, right, that of the fate of Sodom. And God has this personal intimacy with him, personal friendship with him. And Abraham's courage came from that. And because of that, he stood, right? And of course, while others may submit to the eventual outcome of God's judgment, Abraham's faith led him to stand before God. And even, like, attempt to change God's mind, right? But in the end, God destroyed Sodom. So Abraham did not change God's mind, but Abraham stood and his intercession saved Lot's life and his family. So Abraham's boldness comes from that knowledge that he knows that a God who is just, a God who is who will judge, is also a God who is compassionate and merciful, a God who is loving. Right, so he stood and contend for the faith of the righteous based on God's righteousness. And one of the ways that you can learn about praying and intercession is to come for church meetings, prayer meetings. I mean, I see a lot of young people to coming on the monthly and a regular church prayer meeting. So praise God for you guys, right? You come and pray. And I remember just last year, that how many of you know that I'm a Malaysian? Oh, that's very good. You know me well. How many of you are from Malaysia? Or your parents are from Malaysia? Okay, all right. In just last year, when we were praying at one of the church prayer meeting, I was assigned to pray for Malaysia. Most of the time, I pray for Singapore. Right? I pray for Singapore more than I pray for Malaysia. Well, that prayer meeting, I prayed for Malaysia. And Malaysia, at that point of time, was going through not an easy time, right? The leadership, the prime minister, the cabinet ministers, they are involved in some financial scandal, and the government is not doing well, right? And I have friends who even give up their citizenship during that period last year. I know I can count, you know, 5 to 10 They gave up citizenship. I start to think, you know, should I still hold on to my citizenship? Right? It was that bad. But when I was praying, I was preparing to pray for Malaysia. God just stirred my spirit and just gave me these words. He said, God has a plan for Malaysia. Simple words. These simple words was the spirit stir and that statement that God has a plan for Malaysia is soaked with so much faith and power. And so when my turn came to pray for Malaysia, I remember I prayed like nobody's business. I can't remember what exactly I prayed. But I remember, I pray with that faith and confidence. Even though it's quite, you know, the situation is bad, but I pray with that insight and faith that God indeed has a plan for Malaysia. And this year, when they had an election, the government changed. Right? When I look at it, wow, right, this is God's plan. And things are moving and becoming better for this nation. So God can use us when we stand in the gap. And in our simplicity of faith, God will use His and put His spirit, a courage of insight, right? And through that insight, you can pray persistently and with courage, right? So come for church prayer meeting, right? And stand in the gap, not just for friends or for the church, but for nations. God can use us to pray for nations. Right? So our intercession is birthed from our own intimate walk with the Lord. It's carried out with insight and the power of the Spirit, right? And it comes with our consistency and insistence in the Spirit. So Abraham's persistence comes from that posture of faith, right? His persistence comes from a posture of faith. See, in verse 32, he says that, "May the Lord not be angry, right? But let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found?" Well, that's the biggest bargain, right? From 50, you become 10. Right? Even Pasar Malam, you also won't bargain until like that. Right? That's 80% discount. Right? So, Abraham's faith led him to persist and insist until 10. Right? And that boldness is because of his heart for his nephew. That boldness is because of his knowledge and his relationship with God. And 2 years ago, in 2015 and 2016, okay, I'll share with you how, you know, when we avail ourselves consistently, God can use us. How many of you have gone for morning prayer meetings in the morning, right early in the morning? Okay, right, a few of you. There's this the year 2015 and 2016, we were praying for Singapore. You know, every morning, there's this 6:30 to 8:30 morning prayer meeting. And we pray for Singapore. Of course, you know, it's very early in the morning. You know, I wake up, I can't even, don't know, you know, my mind cannot be, you know, still fully awakened. And sometimes when we pray in the morning, we don't know actually what we are praying, but we know that we are praying for Singapore, right? But there was one morning, right, that we lead and we pray, God just led us to pray for Singapore's bilateral relationship with China. So at that point of time, Singapore and China was not doing too good because there's some incident that was involved involved Hong Kong. So, but God somehow led us to pray for that area, right? And a few days later, the newspaper came out. You know, the breakthrough came for that bilateral relationship. And so when it happened, wow, we were so encouraged. Those people who prayed in the morning, we were encouraged because we found that God really answered our prayer and God gave that breakthrough. So, you know, we can pray for nations. Right? God is giving us opportunity as people of God to stand in the gap, not just for people, not just for your friends, but for nations, destiny of nations. So when we consistently avail ourselves and persist with faith in intercession, we will experience God's leading and empowerment to pray. Okay, how? You say, Pastor Singen, how do I start in this intercessory prayer? Well, start with your sphere of relationship. Start with your family, with your loved ones. Right? Begin with your known network of friendships, right? Whether it's your schoolmate or your family members. Right? Pray for them. Stand in the gap for them. Whether they need God, they need the saving knowledge of God, or whether to contend for God's best purposes for their life. You can, when you avail yourself in this commitment to intercede for our loved one, God will lead us. God will know, sometimes we pray with our own mind, with our own agenda, but as you stand and pray, God will give you insight. God will lead you to pray His agenda, His purpose for that person, for that friend. And the Holy Spirit will reveal God's purpose and His will. There was a time when my brother was without a job for not just months, but for a few years, right? And it got me worried, like nobody business. My mom was worried. And at that time, my prayer for my brother intensified, right? I stood in the gap and pray. And today, he's gainfully employed, right? Even when he is tired of one job, God opened a door for him to go to another job. So we don't have to worry. So God hears our prayer, right? And when we pray, God will move and God will provide. Secondly, pray from the sphere of your spiritual authority, right? You know, the prophet Samuel interceded for Israel from his prophetic office. Our intercessory commitment comes from our known relationships, scope of our spiritual responsibility. So if you are a father, you are naturally responsible to pray for the members of your family. So if you are a cell leader, you are responsible for your cell group, for your cell members. You stand in the gap for your cell members. So if you have friends who are pre-believing, who don't know the Lord, you are naturally in that position to stand in the gap to contend for their salvation. Right, so these are our primary sphere and scope of intercessory prayer and responsibility. And thirdly, move in God's timing and His season. Right? One of our top usual commitment is to pray for the lost. Right, to pray for the network of relationship and sphere of our responsibility. You know, there's a place of time when we are called to pray for the larger community. Right, the place of time when we come together as a church in unity to pray for nations. So move in God's season and time. And, you know, like we just had our solemn assembly, and tonight we'll be praying for Singapore. So this season is led by the leadership, the national leadership, church leadership to pray and intercede. So this is where we can intensify our intercession and continue in that passion for God's people and nation. So there's this season and timing that we move, you know, for in terms of intercession. So first, start with your network of relationships. Secondly, pray from the sphere of your responsibility, your spiritual authority. And thirdly, move in God's season and timing. And I would like to close with John chapter 17, verse 25 to 26. One of the reasons why we can arise and stand as intercessors is because Jesus Himself is our chief intercessor. His life and His whole being and what He's doing is a life of an intercessor. And He prayed this. You know, just before He go to the cross, He prayed for the people, His disciples, and for all of us. Right? And He say this in John chapter 17, 25 to 26. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You. And they know that You have sent Me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for Me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So Jesus prayed for us so that His love, you know, that He had with the Father will be made known to us. And that's why we are here today. That's why we are here. We know God because of Jesus' intercession, His first intercession. Right? And our Lord Jesus answer that call, right? To stand in the gap. Right? And that's why we are here. And the prayer on earth is uttered and echoed in eternity because Jesus lived right? To be that internal, eternal intercessor. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 to 25, he said, now there have been many of these priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood, and therefore he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Look, today he lives in us, helping and enabling us in intercession through the Holy Spirit. His Spirit will stir us to pray for those for us to stand in the gap in prayer consistently and persistently in faith. We started with Romans chapter 8. I'm going to close in Romans chapter 8. In verse 26, right? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Right? The Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we go in, and because of that, Paul's confidence is, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? And he said that, who is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? The whole position of an intercessor is to bridge, is to stand in such that the love of Christ can come true to the person, or to the community, or to the people, or to the nation. Right? Paul's confidence and bold declaration of the inseparable love of God for his people stems from the truth and reality that Christ is now at the right hand of God. It stems from that the Holy Spirit is interceding through us. It stems from the reality that all of us have already been adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. And that truth, and that is the spiritual foundation that we are all standing on. And that is why we can all rise up and stand in a gap to intercede for our friends, for our loved ones. So, intercession is not optional. It's not a gift, you know, for those who are very spiritual. It's the normal Christian life. It's expected of every follower of Jesus Christ. And it begins from a place of intimacy. Abraham prayed the most known and bold intercessory prayer in the Old Testament. And it came from his walk and friendship with God. Abraham is known to be the friend of God. And Jesus prayed that universal intercessory prayer for the whole world. And it came about from his own relationship with the Father. So pray from the place of intimacy. Pray with insight as God leads. And pray with the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? The Bible says, broad and wide is the road to destruction, but narrow and small is the road to life. Now, God is calling all of us to stand in the gap. And I understand that we are all moving into an alpha season, an outreach season. And this is the window. This is the window where God is looking for people to stand in the gap. Whether it's your classmate, whether it's your loved one, whether it's your family members or your relatives, someone that you are concerned about their destiny in God, their eternal future. God is inviting you to stand for this person and say that I will stand and pray and commit, so that the love of Christ can come into their lives and the purposes of God can be intercept their path, and they will be redeemed and saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So, I just want to make a call, right, to all of you. Whether it's your friends or relatives, whether it's your loved ones, if God bring that conviction in your hearts right now, I'd like you to stand. You see, that this, by standing, you are saying that I want to commit to pray, to contend for God's purposes in this person's life. By standing, you are saying that I want to bridge and become the instrument to say that God's best purposes and to pray regularly for this person until you see God's purposes and until their life is changed. By standing, you are saying that God help me. I may not know words to pray, but the Spirit of God can lead me to intercession. That's your faith, right? Lead me to pray according to the courage and according to the Word of God, and to pray with the Spirit of intercession so that His will be done for this person. Okay? So are you ready to rise up and pray? Okay. This is serious business. Right? You are changing lives. Right? It's about eternal future. And someone, you know, the word of truth is God's word is true. Right? Because broad and wide is the road to destruction. Many will be tempted to go to that. But narrow and small is the road to life. Few will find it. But we are here because we found it. But there are many others, people you know, who has not found this road. And God is looking for an intercessor to stand in the gap, saying that, I will pray until the person will find this path. Okay, so the worship team lead us in the time of worship. Right? Let's stand. Right? Stand in that posture and position and faith that God is here. God sees our faith. God sees our heart. And God sees that we are making that stand in a spiritual realm. And He's looking at you. And that God will honor us because of our faith, because of our obedience. And that standing of commitment will be follow up. What you're saying is you'll follow up with all that's necessary until this person come to faith. And it starts with a prayer. It starts with that faith and the belief that no matter how difficult you see it is, nothing is impossible for God. And today your prayer will be echoed in eternity. And you know, in Revelations, you know, the elders were worshiping God. And they found that no one is worthy to open that scroll and seal. But lo and behold, Jesus Christ is worthy to open up that seal. And up with all the elders, they see the harp and the bow. And the bow represents the prayer of all the saints. Right, your prayer matter, your prayer will change the eternal course of your friends and your and people you care for.
Let's pray. Father, I lift up all our hearts to you for every heart that responded, that there will be a growing sense of urgency. Not a sense of panic, but a sense of urgency, knowing that your times and seasons are here, going with a sense of purpose because you are a God who has called. Going with a sense of confidence because you are God of power. So we run to the midst of the perishing with both urgency and also confidence and peace. Such different things. But God, you have called us to be such a people of purpose. So Father, I lift up every heart to you that you will come to show us what it means to stand in both urgency and purpose and peace. God, we do not dare to stand before you and make empty promises to the King of Kings. We come weakly to your altar. Sometimes we respond to you, we stand, we kneel, we come forward. God, we dare not take our word to you lightly because you are King of Kings. And I pray for each one of us that in our hearts they will guard this commitment we've made. It's a fear of the Lord and such a deep love for Him both. That we will not just take our word to you lightly, but Holy Spirit, show us how to steward it. We cannot even hold on to this word ourselves, but you need to help us. Will you come and help us? So Holy Spirit, I ask of you to help us to live out the commitment that we have made, to really come and be the intercessor that you've called us to be, a royal priesthood, someone representing God to men and men to God. So as we go from this place, will you just bless each heart to remember what they have said to you and what you are saying to them, to know who you are and to build their private altar wherever they go. So in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Shall I give God a thank offering? Also, shall we just thank Pastor Singyan for sharing with us? Thank you for coming. I really want to affirm Pastor Singyan. I asked him to come and share because I didn't want to ask someone, of course all the pastors are very prayerful, but Pastor Singyan is somebody whom I know prays and intercedes in the secret place. You know I know that. Okay, I don't know why I know that, but I know that. So I wanted someone who has been consistently praying in a secret place to come and share with us. And this is why he is here. So service is over. Next week, we have Pastor Joseph Chen coming to share with us because it's Kus Missions Week. So invite a friend, come with expectant hearts. So see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.kus.org.sg. God bless.